Aker Arkelich is with us today, and Dr. Aker is a senior lecturer in comparative politics at Vic Uni in Wellington. She's researching how conversion affects New Zealanders' identity and belonging. Islam is one of the fastest growing religions in the world, and this is particularly true among Māori as conversion rates continue to rise. Aker, tēnā koe, ko Dale tēnei, thanks for joining us on today's program. Ngā mihi.
Morena, thank you so much for having me.
Kia ora. I've seen a number of Māori who warm to the messages of Islam, and that shouldn't surprise. Quite strong correlations with our cultural thinking and history and a lot of what Islam is about. Can you tell us more about the rise of Islam among Māori and what this means for them and also for the Muslim community, Aker?
Yeah, thank you. This is a great question. I'll start with some numbers to give you information about the context, and I'll answer your questions one by one. So as you just mentioned, Islam will become the largest religion in the world by 2075. Today it has around 2 billion followers, followed by Christianity, which has 2.3 billion believers. Mirroring global patterns, Islam is one of the fastest growing religions in Aotearoa, followed by Hinduism and Sikhism. I find this really interesting because New Zealanders are actually becoming less interested in religion generally, and they also have more negative attitudes towards Muslims than towards any other religious group. So this is really striking. When we look at census data, we see that there were around 2,000 Muslim converts in 2013. And according to the 2018 census data, there were around 7,000 Muslim converts. As you just said, Islam is particularly growing among Māori. In fact, the number of Māori Muslims has increased more than tenfold between 1991 and 2018. So according to census data in 1991, there were around 99 Māori Muslims in 1991. And by 2018, we see more than 1,116 Māori Muslims. I think actual numbers might be even higher because not everyone completes census forms. So in fact, this is a growing trend. And journalists reported that conversion to Islam in Aotearoa has increased after the Christchurch terrorist attacks. According to an RNZ story, 3 to 5 people every day were converting at the Wellington Mosque. So this is another interesting information. So what does this mean for the Muslim community and Māori community? I think for the Muslim community, this is a positive development, given that New Zealanders have more negative attitudes towards Muslims than towards any other religious groups, according to a study published by Lara Greaves and her co-authors in 2019. So in fact, the fact that Islam has been attracting new followers is important for the reduction of negative stereotypes of Muslims, especially in the post-Christchurch context. Given that tolerance and acceptance are important principles in Islam, it's really good that the Muslim community is becoming more diverse and accepting. That said, some of my Māori Muslim interviewees told me that they sometimes feel excluded by their own families and friends, as well as by born Muslims, because some born Muslims see converts as newcomers or feel intimidated by their knowledge and enthusiasm. In fact, one Māori respondent told me that since he knows more about Islam and the Quran than his born Muslim father-in-law, this created some tensions between them. What does this mean for the Māori community? So my research is still ongoing, but so far I have found out that some Māori Muslims are choosing this faith due to spiritual reasons, to explore a new faith and new identity. Others are converting from gangs and prisons to find peace and solace and to quit unhealthy habits such as drinking because Islam prohibits alcohol. Overall, conversion to Islam seems to improve Māori well-being and empowerment. though I have to note that some converts are deconverting and going back to their original religion because they feel disappointed.
Some interesting Fikaro, you've shared with us already, Aika. We are, as a broadcast effort, trying to counteract generations of negative stereotyping that the media have comfortably utilised to portray Te Ao Māori. And I wonder what whether you've delved into why the negativity and the attitude, negative attitudes towards Muslims prevail in Aotearoa. How much responsibility can we attribute to mainstream media coverage of Muslim issues?
That's a really great question, important question. I think part of the answer has to do with our geographical distance from the Middle East. I'm originally from Turkey. You know, it's just so far away. I teach Middle Eastern politics at Taheranga Waka Victoria University of Wellington, and I see that many students find the region so interesting, but there are just not enough sources to learn about it. I think one part of the answer has to do with this geographical distance and prejudices. Also, some people, especially converts who deconvert, told me that they feel a bit disturbed by some patriarchal norms of Islam. So there's a lot to change. Of course, you know, not everyone who chooses Islam feels happy about it. There are also some mixed answers about lack of support networks and mentorship. How can we change this negative stereotype? I think academics like Lara Grieve and her co-authors and other scholars like me should publish more and join podcasts and radio interviews like this. There are also amazing Facebook groups. For example, there is a nationwide network of Maori Muslims called O Mātoureo. One of the co-founders is Nolene van der Listonk. She's also a community activist, and she gives lots of public talks and joins podcasts and interviews like this. So it's not an easy question, and I don't know all the answers, but these are just some ideas.
And Ella, I respect that response too, sister. Thank you. I'm assuming you're Muslim yourself, Aika. Is that the case?
Yes.
Kia ora. And there's been criticism too of Te Ao Māori in our cultural ways too, that it's very patriarchal. Women are not afforded speaking rights on the marae, even though there are very many opportunities excuse me, for Wahine Māori to contribute, not the least of them, the kāranga, where many things can be said as you're welcomed onto a marae, and though the formal speaking roles conducted by men, once the protocols are observed, the floor is again open. So women certainly contribute greatly, but that's misunderstood by those who don't understand Te Ao Māori, and I guess the patriarchal dominance that you refer to in some perceptions of the Muslim faith mirror what occurs in Te Ao Māori. What other cultural similarities do you sense between the Muslim faith and tangata whenua, Aika?
Yeah, that's a really important question. Just a quick note on the patriarchy issue. Of course, there's some truth to that, right? Not every Muslim country is egalitarian, so there are still some important issues to be resolved especially in the Gulf region, you know, in countries like Saudi Arabia. So I just put it as a side note. There are many cultural similarities between Muslims and Maori. I think this really is a major factor that could explain rise of conversion to Islam in Aotearoa. So, for example, both Muslims and Maori care a lot about spirituality, respect for the elderly, family values, storytelling, and there are also similarities between a mosque and a marae. For example, you need to take your shoes off before entering both sacred spaces. There are some architectural similarities. The concept of adab or good manners is also very important for both Muslims and the Maori community.
I know that you recently attended a conference in Taiwan on conversion research. It was at the International Sociology of Religion Conference. Can you tell us a little about how this aligns with your research here, Aika?
be sharing some preliminary findings at this conference. For example, I have so far identified that there are very few convert support networks in the country, especially in small cities and rural areas. In Auckland, there are many, such as the New Muslim Project, Voice of Islam, and some Muslim organizations, such as Fiance, are offering support. But in rural areas and small cities, many Muslim converts feel isolated. The second finding is that the COVID-19 pandemic has created additional challenges for Muslim converts, especially for young converts, because of increased isolation. Another interesting finding that I will share at the conference is that there is a perceived hierarchy within the Muslim convert community, with Pakeha converts enjoying a superior position in the eyes of policymakers and born Muslims over others, such as Maori, Pacifica, and African converts. So some Maori Muslim converts told me that policymakers and born Muslims often tend to overlook them. I also have to add that sometimes Muslims don't like the term convert. They prefer the term revert, because according to Islamic teaching, everyone was actually born Muslim, so it's not possible for someone to convert to Islam, but instead individuals revert to their true identity and God, Allah. So sometimes you see that the word revert is used more commonly than convert. Another point that I'll talk about at this conference in Taiwan is influences of Muslims and Maori on each other. For example, in 2008, Quran was translated into Te Reo Maori, and Maori Muslims have been organizing interesting events such as Halal Hangi or Matariki at the Mosque events, and plans have also been made to build a Mosque Marae hybrid in Christchurch that brings together Islam and Te Reo Maori. So these are some of the preliminary findings I'll discuss at the conference.
Really nice to meet you, Aika. Thanks very much. This is a trend that we see more and more of our people who are embracing the Islamic faith. And that's just a reminder, too, of, you know, of the many paths our people pursue for spiritual enlightenment. And we shouldn't be fazed by that. We should welcome and embrace it. Thanks for sharing some kōrero with us today, Aika. All the best with your travels and with your ongoing studies. Ngā mihi.
Thank you so much for having me. All the best with the program, Dale. Hope to talk to you again soon. Bye.
Thanks so much. Kia ora. Oh, it's a pleasant conversation with Dr. Aika Akilic, a senior lecturer in comparative politics.